Everyone's asleep.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to yet another exciting episode of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, broadcasting from New Zealand, the island-chained paradise in the sunny slave South Pacific, where all you got to do to sunbathe is go outside and soak up the rays of the Fukushima Pacific Ocean. It's just that fabulous. And my very special guest today is none other than Santos Bonacci. Welcome to the show, bro.
Thanks, Vinny. It's a pleasure, as always.
Hey, am I the only talk radio show host that operates in America that calls people bro?
Yeah, but you Kiwi guys, you're all, hey, bro, how's it going, bro? You know,
Kiwis always call everybody bro, and Australians call everybody mate. It's this weird thing we've got.
Yeah, I use both, really, because, of course, I love brother, you know. In fact, I've been using that all my life. Of course, it's well known that I was a Jehovah's Witness for most of my life, so they talk to each other as brother and sister, you see. So, but now when I use brother, I really mean it, because I know, I don't feel or I don't think, I know that we are all one and the same spirit, you know. It's like the leaves of a tree. You go right back through all the little branchlets, through the branches, and you get to the one trunk, right? So I speak that, when I say brother, I mean that in all its applications, in all of its depth of meaning. You know, I don't mean it as something like mate, and I think we should all appreciate that. And the root of the word brother is bra. You know, that's why, even though it's bro, it's pronounced bra, brother. And sister, all you've got to do is put an I in front of sister, and you get Isis star. So you've got bra theos, or Ra Theos, and Isis star, when we're talking to our brothers and sisters. So, as I've pointed out in all of my work, you know, everything comes from light and from the stars. And so when we say brother and sister, we are calling them, you know, Isis and Ra, Israel. And what a better word to call each other than brother and sister?
Yeah, you're right, and it's also really handy if you forget people's names. You just use those personal pronouns like bro, dude, or cuz, man.
Like only a Kiwi can say.
Yeah, and I do believe that there is a deep structure within wording, and maybe you've heard about this too, but apparently you can actually make people, maybe I've actually even encapsulated this yourself. Somebody ever said a sentence to you that actually made you feel something, like they only use so many words, but boy, were those words really well connected, and that sentence actually contained a lot of power, almost like a spell was being cast upon you. It was so inspirational, so amazing, that there was a physical effect. You felt that before?
Yeah, that's called speaking from your power base. You see, we have power and we have force. When you start yelling and screaming like a madman and losing your temper, then you're using force, and that's when you're an idiot. But when you use power, you can really get a lot of things done. This is also reflected in society. This is why there is a police force, armies, you know, they call it defense. This is all force. It's not power. And, you know, that's the modus operandi of the world. You know, they don't have their power base. They've lost it. They're not centered. They're unbalanced. And because of education and the left brain education system that's going on in the world, where everything is compartmentalized and separated and divided. So this is why syncretism is my favorite subject. You know, I would prefer to speak about that in my shows, yeah, all the time. And I can, present fresh material on syncretism at every show I do. And in fact, I have done. You know, I don't have just the one show, you know, where I repeat the same information. And that's what syncretism can do. Syncretism can give you that perspective where you can talk about all things because you've synced them all up. And this is the dis-ease of society today, that everything is compartmentalized and divided. And so people don't really know how to communicate with other disciplines and other sciences. And, you know, they can't see how Christianity is so similar to Islam, which is so similar to Hindu and Judaism, etc., etc. Syncretism just reveals all that and shows that all out, you know, and there's no excuse for division anymore.
Is that because we all kind of come from the same source?
Well, yeah, I did an illustration the other day about the light globes in your house. You know, they're all individual globes and they all light up little corners of the house and separate rooms, but they're all connected to the main board at the front of the house, which is connected to the main line coming in from the lines that are on the street, which are connected to this local station, the transformer, which is connected to La Trobe down here in Victoria, La Trobe Valley, where our power is generated. And so you've got a power station, and then you've got the lines that the source, you could call that the spirit. And this is how human beings work. You know, we're all little individual globes, and we all turn on, you know, go to work and do things and operate. So we've got energy, which comes from the food we intake and the sunlight and water, etc. And so we're connected to this source. And we're all connected to the same source. And this power station is magnetism. Magnetism powers the electric universe. It's behind, it's back of the world of effects, which is the world we live in, electricity. It's an electrical world. And electricity is the one force that that manifests all you see. And this force comes from the power base of magnetism. And magnetism is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, immortal, intelligent, eternal wisdom and love and white light, which is not divided, which does not vibrate. And we are connected to that. That's our source. It's pretty glorious. We're not, you know, just some meat sticks kicking around in a literal society, performing certain functions and duties, and then we cark it and we get a, you know, all caps name on a tombstone, and that's it, you know. No, this is just an eternal game, and we jump out of magnetism to have a little bit of fun in electricity, because electricity is bipolar. It's polarized light, whereas magnetism is not. So you've got a positive and a negative, a yin and a yang, a masculine and a feminine, a hot and a cold, a red and a blue, because when white light divides, it divides directly through two colors, red and blue. Red is Mars, Adam. Blue is Eve, feminine. And that's basically how all of theology and astrology and all of philosophy is expressed, through those two archetypes and derivatives of that, you know, polarized light called electricity. This is why we have electrons. You'll find the word elect hiding there, because El, the god of light, and Ra, the other god of light, because there's always two. There's external light and interior light. We manifest radiant light. That's how people can see us, because of our light bodies. And we also have internal light, and those are Ra and El. And they are both powered by Isis, Israel. And so Isis is being. It's is, you know. She is. And so from being magnetic, white, icy and pure light, come two lights, polarized lights, Ra and El, right and left, red and blue, and everything you see is manifested by those two lights. So what I'm doing is just giving you a theological, simple, syncretic sermon. Sorry, and I apologize for the long-winded answer to your question.
Well, you do realize it's a three-hour radio show, and that's kind of encouraged?
Well, I'll be winding up by the third hour.
All right. There can be a fourth if you want. Now, you were talking about electrons before, and you said the word elect was in there. So if you put electrons in there, does that mean kind of like the word usage is we elect morons? Or is it that we should elect Ron Paul? Huh?
Yeah. Well, you know what? We should be electing ourselves, because what we need to do is this. It's quite simple. All we're here to do is to awaken, and the dead shall rise, you know, whereas let the dead bury their dead, the morons, you know, that sounds a bit harsh, but, you know, it wasn't
Might I cut in? A lot of people are saying, like, whether or not it's even worth, you know, oh, people aren't going to wake up. I know that people do wake up, you know, and they can wake up no matter how deep they are in a sleep and what have you. But it's about, you try and tell somebody something, if they're not receptive, you just walk away, you know? You just throw that information grenade in there, and later on it'll explode in their face someday, if you're lucky.
Yeah, it might not be their turn, you know, in this great, beautiful cosmic play of it reincarnating to experience and remember. Sometimes we don't remember enough, and we have to come back and do it all over again.
Well, I think some people have just got it too easy, and they like all their comforts and things like that, and they've never been completely fracked over their entire life or had their entire perception of reality completely destroyed and changed by a lie.
Yep. You look at, cocoons. Not all of the caterpillars and grubs and what have you that become butterflies actually get out of their cocoon. Some die in there, you know. Look around in the forest, in the Australian bushlands, there's cocoons everywhere, and you can see that some of them have just been lying there for years and they didn't, you know, produce anything. So for all the butterflies you see, you know, some remained as grubs in their cocoons and never got out. So it's not, you know, expected that everyone shall be quote unquote saved. But truly our purpose here is to awaken and enter into the higher mind. We have two natures, lower and a higher. And the ones that are not going to make it are stuck in their lower nature. So when we elect Ron Paul or anyone, we're actually giving away our power base, and we're saying, all right, you can have the power, and all we're left with is force. And so how these entities take our power away from us is to give us fictional devices and instruments to do our daily dealings. You know, for instance, fiat currency. It's not even money. It's legal tender. Now, most Australians go around paying all their utilities and everything with legal tender, and little do they realise that they are being enslaved by this fictional system, because how can you ever pay interest back? It is absolutely impossible unless the merchant bankers print more money, which is what they do. So they make this big bubble, and eventually it must self-annihilate. And so because people aren't thinking, they think that going around with these notes in their pockets is actually freeing them and helping them and facilitating all of their interactions. Well, it's not. So when we elect ourselves and we take away the power from the morons and give it back to we the people, then we learn how to make proper money. You see, every country has a treasury. Treasury comes from the word treasure. So if we all pool our treasure, then we can use that treasure to create infrastructure. Small example I gave of this to explain why we shouldn't be paying tolls or taxes or rates or anything like that to any so-called authority external of our living man, woman status. One example I gave was the great famous Australian East to West Railway line, which was built during the First World War in 1915. That was built with treasury notes, no debt incurred, no interest, and no taxes either were garnered. Is that the right word from the people? Garnished, garnered. Anyway, doesn't matter.
No, I thought a garnish involved cooking, I think.
Yeah, I'm getting word tired here. But anyway, the point is that they built that railway line, they did not tax the people, and there was no debt. And this is what the nations had and have in their constitutions and in their law. But what's happened is, you know, since the late 1800s and everything, the central merchant bankers have taken over. And so instead of treasuries making real money, we have monopoly money. And someone is monopolizing the whole system. And all you've got to do is look for the mon words and follow the mon trail, and you will, you'll find out who that is. You know, monarchy, money, that monotheism, and all of that crap.
Hey, what do you call a Jamaican-themed tanning salon? Montana. You're talking about how there's the higher self and the lower self, and have you ever had an argument with an atheist? Mate, they are trapped in their lower selves, all right, because they don't believe that there is such a thing as a higher self, you know? It's pretty straightforward. And stuck in that way because of fear through lies. And so they just accept their lot in life. They don't kind of try and go out and discover and question everything that comes at them. Now, when it comes to this debt crisis that you're talking about here, how did all this money come into existence? Well, they just pretended that it existed. Well, why don't we just forgive all the debt and pretend that it doesn't exist? You know? That'd work, yeah. Wouldn't it?
Yeah. Of course, Jubilee. What happened to the Jubilees? You see, before Pope Boniface VIII in 1302 and his unholy Unum Sanctum papal bull, which created the Express Trust, which we are all ship members, membership, citizenship partakers, and hence slaves. Before that, every 50 years, all debts were cancelled, zeroed. And so, you know, it's so convenient for the oligarchs to have hidden that natural system universal system from our, you know, site and given us this monopoly money instead. How funny, you know, how ridiculous that we elect morons to govern over us, government, govern the mental, and when they need money for infrastructure, they borrow it from who? Pedophile criminal banksters. Oh, that's a great idea. And their bank in Australia is called the Reserve Bank. Run by who? Ah, the Rothschilds, a family of pedophiles. Lovely. And we're just using Rothschild pedophile money in this country to pay for
it. It's the exact same thing in New Zealand, like right behind the front desk of the Reserve Bank in New Zealand is a Rothschild crested shield.
Yeah, and all of these dumb, lower-minded people, sorry for having to call my fellow brothers dumb, but they're stone motherless dumb, are using Rothschild money, and all you've got to do is go onto the computer or read any book that tells the truth, and you'll see that this is a family of murderers, pirates, killers, pedophiles, abusers, animalistic Khazarian swine, and they pretty much run the world. Ah, funny about that. I think we can just press the eject button on this family and get a real paradise on this planet. That's
And they've also got all their friend families and what have you, and they're all incestuously married together. It's like this black nobility in the background here. That nobody goes to their weddings, nobody hears about them or anything like that. Oh, but Kate and Will. Oh, we're just going to close down everything in London for that, and the rest Charlie Beach, so we can't agitate with his little 15-watt megaphone.
Yeah, how many times does the Queen have to be exposed as a big, big, big pedophile? I mean, every day you see articles and journalists that are trying to get the truth out, but the Rothschild-controlled media won't let it out, that their favourite little pedophile family that run the globe with them, the Windsors, are just a bunch of, well, children raping, people trafficking, criminals that need to be in jail today. That's it. I mean, it can't be any more simpler than that. You know, all these pirates in jail, free the good people that are in there for silly little breaking of their codes and enactments and statutes and bylaws, etc., etc. Get them out and put the real criminals in. We know who they are. And I reckon it's time for a good little old action on this earth, on this planet, Vinny. Time for us to, you know, get some things done.
Well, you know, I think we have to do things every day, and I've learned over a short period of time that it's actually going to be a very long, protracted process. Much like the New World Order's gotten itself into position in a very slow way, the kind of way that a snail will crawl very, very slowly onto a lettuce leaf as it consumes it. And I think in order to get rid of them without actually tearing out the whole lettuce and destroying the whole earth, we've got to play a slow game back.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the game I'm playing. I delight in the fact that I'm exposing these creeps, and at the same time, I'm giving the one and only true answer to all of the problems, which is syncretism to the world. And I get a chance to speak about it daily on radio shows. I make presentations, and I know the creeps don't like it. But, that would be one way to bring them down. You know, I'm keen to get the job done quicker if there's any, you know, if there's any way. I'm here for that reason. You know, I'll reach out to any listener in the world to join, not forces, as they say, join forces. No, no, join in the power, you know, join in the power and say no to these creepy fictions. We can all do it. We can just say no. It's as simple as that. This is what I do, and I live my talk. I walk it, you know. I would never, ever, I would rather die than buy a Cherry Ripe or a Mars bar or a Starbucks or any corporate crap. I would rather die. I'd put a bullet in my head before I took a bite of a Cherry Ripe.
No, no, like literally, bro. If I put a gun to your head and I say, buy that Morrow bar or die.
I tell you, I live the walk that I talk purely, 100%. I will be judged one day by universal light as absolutely 100% walking my talk. I encourage everybody to just say no to that plastic crap. Nature has all the answers. I only eat raw vegan food because that is the only way to put life and chlorophyll and blood, true blood of green plants into your body. That's all the body requires. All the other food's dead. It's all toxic. And it's all been genetically manipulated by the oligarchs for thousands of years, you know. For instance, these big tomatoes and these big apples, all of these are damaging to the health. The only apple that we should be eating is the crab apple and the cherry tomatoes and all the original food that wasn't, you know, compromised by agriculture and big businessmen. Back in the days, even Rome and Egypt, they've all genetically hybridized our food supply. Wheat, you know, you see people getting around with a sandwich, for instance, a ham, cheese and tomato sandwich with margarine, which is one molecule distant from plastic, and white bread, which is bleached, because you can't get white bread without bleaching it. It's brown. And so all of that is poison. The tomato is poison. It's hybrid. The cheese is toxic. Dairy products should not be ingested by human beings. The meat is dead food. It's carcass. This is why people are killing each other, because they're eating animals, hence they behave like animals. That's it. And so any wonder they're not getting into the higher mind. We must be ingesting pure thoughts and pure food. You are what you eat. And this is what I stress so much, that the number one way to stop the corporate world in its tracks is not eat their crap. The moment we eat what we should be eating, raw, true food in our bodies, all the rubbish will stop. The corporations will shut down. It's the answer. The answer is what we're eating.
It's the smallest word that has the most power. No.
Yeah, we just can say no. And you know, the food supply is where they've got humanity. They did it. They pulled a trick thousands of years ago. They started agriculture. Before that, we were just foragers, because there was a permaculture atmosphere or condition on the earth, right? And it was, and all we were required to do was just go around, pick a few berries here and a few berries there, and the Mother Earth provided food in its season. We were to eat seasonal crops. And that way, but what happened was as we descended in consciousness, as we slipped from the iron, the gold and silver and bronze, and hence into the Iron Age of the last couple of thousand years, agriculture and the greedy-hearted businessman started to run things, and he realized that, you know, if he could, you know, chop up a bit of land and mass produce his tomatoes, then he could go to the market and make more money than anybody else and have more power. So all of this raping the earth through agriculture, which is an aberration, is what we need to stop in its tracks. And how you do that is just have your own garden, learn how to sprout food, and which is the best food that you could ingest as a living being. You look at a horse, probably one of the most energetic animals on the planet in terms of running all day, whereas the meat eaters, like lions and cheetahs and that, they have to sleep all day and they run only a little bit, whereas horses, all they eat is sprouts. That's their diet. And they have, you know, the most endurance and stamina of all animals, really. And so you see how even the animals that eat meat suffer because of eating meat. You know, this trauma that the earth has gone through where killing of sentient creatures for sustenance is truly a universal aberration, and we are suffering the consequences of doing that. You know, you look around and you see all the diseases. That's all as a consequence of eating meat and cooked food, period. That's where disease comes from. Once a human being goes back to raw vegan diet, they, in 120 days, all of their DNA can be restored, you know, with a lot of good practices. Another thing I recommend, Vinny, is coconut oil pulling. I would do a couple of those a day, if not at least one a day. Many people are getting great results from that. And there's a good brand that I buy off local guy here. It's called the Banaban brand from Fiji. That would be one of the best brands. And oil pulling will eliminate a lot of the toxins, buildup of toxins in the body. And it's one of the best ways. You can do a lot of research on the internet about it, but certainly one of the things I would recommend, along with all the other things that that I'm doing, like grounding and earthing, making sure that you connect with Mother Earth every day to discharge all of the negative thought forms and emotion forms that we pick up from the external world. Now, guys like you and I, Vinny, we suffer more than the average person because we are constantly dealing with people that are, you know, unfortunately we get parasited. Our energy gets zapped. Doing a three-hour show, for instance, I'm going to be exhausted, you know, after the 3 hours, in a good way, but nonetheless, it does consume mass. And so we need to be very careful that we are, you know, charging the body with minerals. Mineral, amon and al, is all that our bodies are requiring, really, to keep it electrically charged. It's an electrical organism. Everything in the body, the anatomy, and you'll see the word atom hiding in the word anatomy, is atomic energy. It's light, vibrating light. And it's a beautiful orchestrated galaxy unto itself. When you look at the atoms of the heart, you'll find that those beautiful atoms, you know, hydrogen, oxygen, nitrogen, and carbon have all gathered together in molecular structures to make an organ called the heart. And that organ, through implosion and magnetism, pumps, for want of a better word, blood through all the body and oxygenates the whole body. And there are many organs in the body, and all they are is star clusters of atoms. And all together, when you walk around with your body, you are carrying your galaxy with you wherever you go. And so holographically, our body is the same as above, the stars above, you know, the ecliptic. The ecliptic runs straight through your body, and yet it is directly above your head at night, and it's the path of the sun. And so it's a holographic universe. When you understand this, you will understand that your body requires mineral energy, electricity. It requires electric charge. You see, I've never been sick in my life. I've had flus, yeah, I get run down. You do, that's normal. But arthritis, don't know what it means. Diabetes, don't know what it means. Piles, asthma, headaches, all of that stuff. Well, I had a headache when I was 9. Wasn't very nice. But apart from that, I don't do headaches. And how do you do this? Well, by loving your body. You see, how you love your body is you charge it with electric force. Because there's only one force in the universe. And there's only one force that your body needs, electricity. And corporate mass-produced processed food is destroying the DNA because the DNA needs that electric charge, the electric charge to be integral, you know, and to be able to reproduce itself correctly. This is why you see obese people, because they've eaten too much processed and cooked food, and their DNA just takes a beating, and there's too many toxins, and the DNA cannot reproduce itself cleanly. It's an acidic body, and their pH is below 7, which is deadly dangerous because that spells that you are in the lower mind. You are not in your higher self. You can only be in your higher self with an alkalized body. And that comes through proper eating. You are what you eat.
And conveniently, though, the only thing that's really available at any gas station or really anywhere you can buy food that's pre-made for you is crap. Isn't that funny? Yep, it's actually not. It's not possible to go out and find some place that doesn't serve you stuff that is a bioweapon. It's quite frustrating. You were talking about seasonal fruits there. You go to the supermarkets, mate, and nothing looks like it's been ripened on the vine at all. That stuff has been picked well before its time. There ain't no minerals or nutrients or anything in it left. A couple of years ago, we've got these really famous orange groves in New Zealand out in the place called Kerikeri, right? And they did like a soil sample, and they did a test on the vitamin C content of the oranges. The soil's got virtually no nutrients in it, and the oranges have zero vitamin C in them. All right, so everything that we're told that's good actually doesn't have anything in it at all. And if you're eating stuff that doesn't have anything in it at all, you're simply eating your own body away, aren't you? Just in order to process that stuff, because you're not getting anything back. You were talking about seasonal fruits before and like colds and stuff like that. Well, it's interesting to note that in New Zealand, when it comes into winter, all the lemons start growing. What do lemons got in them? Well, copious quantities of vitamin C. What do you need to fight off or prevent a flu? Oh, vitamin C. Isn't that some kind of like inbuilt natural kind of way of doing things to prevent certain diseases at certain times of the year? You know?
Yeah, well, this is... I look out at my garden and I've got cherry tomatoes. There's 100 of them. They're red and juicy and sweet. I can eat 10 of those a day and that's enough. And then I've got sprouts. I've got all kinds of sprouts. I'm sprouting almonds at the moment. I've got alfalfa and all kinds. I forget, but the fridge is full of the sprouts. And
can I make a point here? Because I was just thinking about this, permaculture and all of these things. We've now got access to such massive knowledge in terms of growing food and whatnot that we're actually really capable with our level of technology to create an advanced self-sustaining system that's intellectually sound. And I think that kind of thing doesn't get put out too much in the media. I wish it did. Because they're never telling you to stop. I mean, I tell people to stop listening to my radio show all the time and start their own and do something productive with their life. Because, you know, there's only so much productivity you can get out of learning without action. You know what I'm saying? And I think what we're really worried about, or at least what I'm really worried about, is that we'll all be doing our normal thing, and then the crap's going to hit the fan and we're just going to start panicking and it's all over Red Rover. And I think because people are walking around with that fear or that parasite on their mind just kind of going, oh, what if things go wrong and what have you, it makes them stop planning for the future, which makes them stop doing things that will affect their future positively today.
It's really imperative that...
Oh, Santos, you're breaking up there badly, boy.
Okay, I'll fix that.
Is that better?
That should be better.
Much better, because you were kind of talking in the Transformer Cybertronian dialect right there.
Yeah, look, there's no better time than now to transform our own health and ascend into our higher nature. There's so much beauty and greatness in doing so. To know how powerful we are is just exhilarating. The system is designed to make us feel powerless. And why do we need a system that does that? You know, everyone's got power. I look around and I can tell that the masses are in the lower mind. It's not hard to, you know, you can see it, but it hurts me. it hurts all of us because these are our brothers and we're connected to the same source. And to see how much they've they've disconnected themselves from that power source. It's like a fan that keeps you cool. You know, once you pull the plug out of that source, it starts to wind down and then it gets hot, right? And you see people, they've disconnected themselves and they're doing it deliberately. They've been told by governments that vaccinations, you know, are going to help them and the dentist is going to fill your mouth with amalgams but your teeth will be okay. The doctors will medicate your children. They've got bipolar. Don't worry. They've got great medications, great treatments, chemotherapy for cancer. And all of this is just business. It's just business. It's not true. It's not helping anybody. It's taking people's power and money away from them. There are so many fictional schemes operating on this system, and we've allowed them. We've given them breath and life, and and force. We've supported them. We've registered with governments.
Do the fictional schemes, like in their mass number, actually outnumber the good things that they do?
Well, the good things that are in place come from we the people. You know, like the infrastructure and stuff. Not that I'm, you know, saying that technology, I'm a fan of technology at all. No way, you know. Biotechnology, which would be, you know, or going back to bio, which would be natural, would be the better way to go. But, you know, if you need a bridge across a road, you know, across a river or something like that, so you can get across the river or something, we can build that. We can all contribute to whatever we need. And basically what governments are doing now, because they're so corporatized, is they're giving us not what we need, what we think we want and what we think we need. Because of advertising, dumbing down, education, and all
Well, basically, they manipulate you into wanting something and then produce it for you and say, here's what you wanted. And they go, thank you for manipulating me and then giving me what I wanted when I was under manipulation.
Yeah, well, that's what Rome did when Rome first started. They conquered a country, like they conquered Gaul. Julius Caesar killed 1 million Gauls and he bragged about it. But in the end, Rome conquered Gaul. And what they did was gave them a citizenship. In other words, you are our slaves, whether you like it or not. We have annexed you, we have overpowered you, and you belong to Rome. So, but in time, people got to think of this citizenship as something great because Rome, you know, offered many privileges, benefits, and services. No rights. See, the Gauls lost all their rights to be free, but they got all the Roman privileges, services, and benefits. And so people, you know, and then, you know, they would conquer Parthia and Dacia and Germania and Carthage, and that's what they did. They made slaves of the people. And then they called it citizenship. And so people think, oh, I'm a citizen of the United States. They think this is something, you know, to be proud of. Well, all you're going to get is privileges, services, and benefits. You go to jail, you can pay their taxes, you can pay their rates. This is how they have taken away our power, this corporate structure that has made us believe that a citizenship is more important than our godship.
Godship. In fact, I was just thinking about this. Funnily, you should mention that yesterday, Santos. I came up with this phrase, and I'm not sure what it means or if I believe it. Every man wants to be godly, right? Every man wants to be a god. And I was like, whoa, that sounds wrong. That sounds like somebody wants to be overpowering. It sounds like somebody wants to be all-powerful, right? How about every man wants to achieve divinity?
Well, that's it. But divinity comes from the word divide, which is dealing with the divinity of electric, divided, polarized force. Jehovah, whatever. Any god that's got a name is the electrical god of the universe, the creator. And so, but when you're talking about, and see, God is an anagram. It's an anagram for, an acronym for generation, operation, dissolution. The creator, the operator, and the destroyer. Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva. That's what G-O-D stands for. And so, but the godship that we are, yes, we have the dualistic divine godship, and there's nothing, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with, you know, that term divine. Yes, yeah, whatever. Whatever you need to use to express this, but we have divinity. You know, we are sparks of light. The Bible tells you that. The Bible says that God breathed the spirit into Adam and he became a living soul. And so what is this spirit? Well, it's the spiritual nature that we are, which is the invisible, magnetic, immortal nature that we are. That's how powerful we are. So if we embraced our divinity, it's what we're doing is we're embracing unity, because we acknowledge that it's all one. And we, instead of, you know, adoring like an idol the individuality and the personality of each one, we begin to honor the universality of each one of us rather than the individuality. And so, yeah, acknowledging your divinity is the surefire way of bringing unity back to this world. The only reason why there's suffering on this plane is because of all the fictional schemes that are in place. Eliminate all of that monopoly and it's game over. We can bring the balance back to this planet and we can have much more of the good feelings than the dreaded feelings. Everybody is experiencing dread, no matter how free they think they are on this plane. Everybody has dread. You know, imagine the five banks.
Especially Rastafarians. They've got the dread.
Yeah, the dreadlocks. But, you know, imagine that bankster 2 days ago, that JP Morgan bankster who fell out of the jumped out of his 19th story New York apartment or something like that. There's been a few, right? Now, there would have been dread in that moment before they either committed suicide or were, quote-unquote, suicided, pushed out of the window. But even these high flyers, I mean, they get killed, they die, they feel dread, and they have created a world that we're living in. And so, but everyone feels this dread, right? Because it's a polarized world we live in. But we can have less of that and more of the love, simply by eliminating the fictions.
Can I ask as well? There's one thing that's been happening to me recently that I remember something I've done with somebody or to somebody or something like that, where I was just really foolish or like totally messed up an opportunity or something like that, and I just keep reliving these instances and feeling this, as you so aptly put it, the dread. And I don't know why I keep doing that. Why does my mind keep wandering all the way back to these social fossils from my past that come back to bite me in my own mind?
Yeah, we're all, because we're all suffering with this. Why? Is because the universe is coming to us in pulses. It vibrates. And there's a positive and a negative part of it. And we are living in that. Our bodies are vibrating in half the time it's positive and half the time it's negative. But when it's balanced, there's no dis-ease. What's happening is we are tapping into the negative part more than we are the positive. We've forgotten the art of balancing. And so what's happening is, as the universe just pulses away, doing its dance, you know, it's just a dance, it's like a nice merengue, you know. But what we're doing is we're falling into the trap. You see, a lot of the dread that we feel is guilt from past actions. Well, the past is gone. There's no past. It's now. Now who are you? Well, now you are a divine being. You've acknowledged that. So you should be able to tap into the part of the pulse that is always positive. You see, in the Kybalion, there is the seven principles of Hermes, universal principles. One is rhythm. And the master, who has come through being the initiate, he has balanced that that law of rhythm in the universe, that it's like a pendulum. Everything that's positive swings back to the negative. But see, what's going on, Vinny, is, and we're all suffering this. I suffer a lot. That's why I, you know, I'm 10 kilos underweight.
Mm.
One of the reasons I know for sure is the fear that I feel half the time. Or, I don't know, it might be 40% of the time. I don't know, but it's contemporaneously with me along with the love that I have. And so what I'm doing is balancing out the two. Balance, yes, there's fear. Okay, yeah, I can feel the suffering of little children that are starving to death in Africa. I can feel the suffering of the little children that are being raped by pedophile clergy right at this moment. I can feel the suffering of mothers who, you know, have got fines and rates to pay, single mothers, and they've got children and they don't know how they're going to pay the next rent. You know, that's always there because I'm conscious of that. But then there's also that I know that when I'm in the now, there is only love. And I know that I am a beautiful divine being, as everyone, all the listeners are. I know that. And so that is always there at the same time, balancing the two. What we need to do now is learn to breathe and balance those two out. And then there won't be such a polarity. There won't be such a disruption in our lives. This is why doctors with their...
I was wondering, though, like maybe, I don't know, it's my opinion that suffering, pain and regret teaches you the most profound lessons and actually make you stronger. And they're really, yeah, and they're really necessary.
Absolutely. See, we're not here to... We're not here to... run away from that. We're not escapism or anything like that. What we're doing is we're doing what our duty is, to bring the balance back. And so, yes, there's dread, but the moment you feel dread and you think, hey, you know, I don't want to feel that, we can flip that instantly with our power. And just tap into the positive, because the positive is always there also vibrating. Or you can go in the middle. Just go in the middle. Forget the positive and the negative and just go, take a deep breath and just say, hey, in the now, all is perfect. And I'll tell you what, it's hard to do. I keep failing all the time.
Hey, is there some kind of etymology with the word breath?
Oh, yeah, bra. Breath is ra and eth is ether.
Like the god ether.
Yeah, well, ether is everywhere. It permeates all the elements, fire, air, water, and earth. But it is the top quintessential element and the fifth element. And that's why it begins with the letter E, because E is the fifth letter of the alphabet. And it is the quintessence. And supposedly, it's from ether that all things come out of. So ether is probably... Eve, the Virgin Isis, which is magnetic, pure, white light. This is why there's always a virgin who's so pure, because she's not polarized. There's no polarity in magnetism. So that divine one will always be called the one that, you know, supersedes and is above the demiurge, the archon god. You know, these are the archons that have created... Oh,
do the archons actually have a god, or do they think they are the gods?
Well, a bit of both. You know, they like to act like they are it and a bit, and there's nothing above them. You know, Jehovah, you can tell that that comes out in the Greek myths with Jupiter, Jehovah, and in the Hebrew texts. You know, you can see that he likes to act like he's the only god. You know, there's nothing else above him. But, well, that's also part of the universe, you know. Everything that shines wants to have glory for itself. You know, they want a bit of limelight while there's limelight there, you know. So, and it's only... the way the universe works, you know. Narcissus, yeah. He saw the reflection of himself and loved himself and came and, you know, lost powers because of being narcissistic. Well, it's telling the story of each and every one of us. That's the story of us. That's my story. You know, the ego and the beauty of this creation of the human body is just so wonderful. The things we can do, it's so tantalizing down here. There's many beautiful things. There's great foods to eat. I mean, the divine gift of sex is just, you know, intoxicating, and many have failed in mastering that one. You know, that's why they're called fornicators in the scriptures, because they're abusing the gift of sex. They don't know how to use it divinely, you know. Other things, there's so many lovely things down here in this beautiful dance, but the thing is, it's still a prison. It's still a trap, because it's only a plane. It's a plane of illusion, really. It's like if I grab my guitar and I strum a beautiful 2 minutes of some song, you know, some nice rumba or something like that, and everyone dances. Well, I can't play that song forever. It'd be too boring, for one, but I wouldn't have the energy, and, you know, the strings wouldn't last forever. So each song has its duration. Each song has its glory. But they all return to what? To the silence. Every song returns to the silence. Comes out of it, goes back to it. And so silence rules all. So that's the same with magnetism. Magnetism is a silent white light. There's no noise. There's no sound there. This is why the Son, the only begotten Son of God, is called the Word, because the Word is noise. Electricity is a noise. It's it's a vibration. And it's the, you know, the word and God gave his Son the Word so that all might be saved, for instance, or the Word was made flesh. Well, the flesh is matter, and matter is composed of atoms that are vibrating, because a sound is being generated and stimulating the molecules, the so-called elements, and creating that illusion of matter.
Yeah.
It's just motion. That's all it is.
And they can't even find the smallest particle anyway, you know. The people have been trying. They've been trying to find the smallest atom. They can't freaking find it, you know. And they had that big Hadron Collider. It was like, what did it cost them? $8 billion or something like that across 4 countries. They're like, yeah, we're going to find out the kind of matter that started the universe. And they go, really, bro, is that worth $8 billion to find out? Yeah. And any possible risk? Well, we might accidentally create a black hole and suck the entire existence of Earth into it and kill everybody. But let's do it anyway. And so they did it, and then they crashed these two particles together, and then they did find a new kind of matter that appeared just for a second and then disappeared and had no practical benefit, and they called it doesn't matter. We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show, and my very special guest Santos Bonacci will still be joining us. Back in just a few minutes.